You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hello, One of Us listeners. My name is Nick. You may recognize my voice from One of Us shows such as The Screener Squad, The Final Watch series, and occasionally The Breakfast Pub. Recently, I ventured into the world of audiobooks and created my own production company, Mercs with Mics, which so far has been quite successful. The bad news is that it's a little too successful for me to actually keep up with the workload on. So I'm looking for some freelance audio editors to help me out with some basic editing. Things like editing out flub takes, loud breathing between dialogue, and the elimination of clicks and pops and other artifacts that might end up on the audio. Payment would start at the rate of $70 per full hour of edited audio. I'm also looking for narrators, with a decent home recording setup, and at least some previous experience in acting. If you are interested in either of these positions, please contact me at mercswithmics@gmail.com. Thank you for your time, and a special thanks to all the listeners who support OneOfUs.net and keep this wonderful site going. You make me proud to be One of Us.
OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net, keep the site and all of our great shows going, and get some terrific bonus content as well. Liar, as opposed to the creators of this film,
which are they're bad liars.
They're bad liars.
They're very obvious liars.
They don't know how to.
Even on the poster, it says "Read between the lies," and that's bullshit.
Raise your hand if you feel personally victimized by this movie.
Yeah,
I do, just not for the reasons everybody else does.
Well,
yeah.
I love elder abuse, so I was really into the last part of this.
Hey! Spoilers!
Yeah, I mean, The Good Liar is a Bill Condon film who's made films I've really, really
loved.
Yeah, he's
made
some
monsters.
Gotham Monsters.
So
Mr. Holmes. I love Mr. Holmes so much.
He wrote the screenplay for Chicago, which is one of my favorite movie musicals.
Absolutely.
Right, he also did Dreamgirls, which I don't like. Yeah. Sorry, Chris.
Oh, I love Dreamgirls. Oh, big! I can't believe you don't like We'll Have
Well,
Words
you don't
later.
Like Nine.
I don't
what?
Like Nine.
Out.
Now she's like, you all
kick him off his own show.
But he's also done some clunkers, and I think this is firmly going to
more recently than not recently. Too.
What are some of the? I mean, I can't remember the clunkers so much as well. Dreamgirls,
other
but,
than
you
the
know.
Twilight movies.
Well, Twilight.
Oh God,
there you go.
I mean that explains a lot.
And I mean, nobody you can't make a marble statue out of a turd.
I mean,
you really. I mean, you could try, but
but he did do the. He did the live action Beauty and the Beast, which I wasn't
also
all that
awful.
Crazy about.
Me neither.
And also felt was woefully miscast. No offense to Emma Watson. I still love you, but no.
I actually kind of like Beauty and the Beast myself, but it wasn't.
We don't have enough time to go
wrong.
Wrong
enough.
All he had to do, make Anna Kendrick Bell. That would have saved the whole fucking movie because, you know, she can sing.
And he did Kinsey, which should have been great and was
which
just kind
great.
Of there.
I keep on forgetting that's a thing, that movie.
And he did Candyman, Farewell to the Flesh.
Oh, right.
Let us not speak
so
of this.
So that's our show.
Yes.
Well, that was Jennifer
he
you
also
just
did,
heard.
He also does some like screenwriting as well, like on the side, not directing.
That's true. So. That's Frank there.
Giving
to be fair
Bill
statement.
Condon plug.
And of course, the people who live down the block know it's Beau.
Hello.
So we're going to talk about this movie with Ian McKellen, once again working with Bill Condon just recently with Mr. Holmes, which I thought was terrific.
I thought it was so great. Everyone had seen it for the most part, same thing. But
I have not seen it yet.
Oh, treat yourself.
It was interesting. Although, because I like historical stuff, I spent the first half of that movie going, when is this happening?
Do you need a hug? Do you feel personally victimized?
Oh, do you mean like the era?
Yeah, because it's like, but it's Sherlock Holmes, and he's Victorian, and this seems like it's after World War II, and what the fuck? He'd be like, 140.
And also,
been personally victimized.
Fictional character.
It doesn't matter! You don't say, and Batman lives in L.A. No, he fucking doesn't.
Well,
lives in Gotham City.
I saw a Batman movie not that long ago, and I'm like, wait a minute, is this today? Batman would be like 97.
No, shut up.
But is he really?
I know. I'm just
well,
saying.
Yeah, which Batman?
But is he? So
no, he's not.
Ian McKellen is Roy Courtenay, and when we meet him, he seems charming. He seems very Ian McKellen until you realize he is a lifelong con man. And when we meet him, he's kind of in the middle of a con, conning some business people out of money with a. I actually at one point I was like, oh, I actually know what that scheme's called, and yeah. I can't remember what it is. I've seen a lot of con.
You got to hand it to grifters; they always come up with really cool names for their schemes,
right?
Unlike murderers, who are just going with that. Murder.
Yeah. They're not like, let's pull the triple Lindy.
Oh, the triple Lindy.
Not in public.
Where you kill three acrobats at once.
Exactly. But we see that
together.
We see that he's also on the side. He's on a dating site and he's meeting up with an elderly Helen Mirren. Like, so it's like dating for elders. And you're not really sure at first. You think, well, maybe he's like one of those charming good con people, which does happen in movies. There are con films where you root for the con
that,
guys.
Really?
But you're like, okay, so it takes a little while before it becomes clear in the movie. No, he's in this for the con.
Yes,
as well.
He's not the Michael Caine in Dirty Rotten.
Well, part of it is because when at first she seems like, well, she's not like... She's certainly not, doesn't seem to be very wealthy or anything, but there's little clues very early on. She's announced she's paying for stuff in cash, expensive things.
Yeah.
And right off the bat,
I mean,
you really...
she buys a second car for their second date.
Right? You really like her.
Yes,
right?
You don't
almost
buy
like,
a car in
it's
cash?
It's almost like it's stereotypically...
I paid it in cash. Yeah.
let me mention very loudly... that I paid for this.
But as the film goes along, we meet her grandson, who does not like Ian McKellen whatsoever.
And who would?
Russell Tovey, who I knew from the BBC show Being Human, who played the werewolf character on there.
Well, he was in something
That's
else
right.
as well. He was on...
he was in the History
Where
Boys.
Was he?
The show Being Human.
No, Wolf?
He was a werewolf in it. Did you ever see the
it
show Being
where?
Human? Oh, be quiet.
Pipe down, you.
Look how pleased he is with himself for that non-joke.
I can't believe you fell for that. That's the oldest trick in a book.
Oh my god, I've been conned.
And so that's our show.
It's like I got conned by a dad joke.
Do you feel personally victimized?
I do. Call the police.
Call some Russians.
Indeed.
You know, as you do.
So as this movie goes along, we're seeing on one hand, you know, the earlier con sort of playing out a bit. We see, which leads to us seeing how dangerous Roy is if he's actually backed into a corner. That he's not just some charming old con man. No, this guy is.
No, he has claws.
Fully capable of being lethal.
Yeah.
And at this point, you start to genuinely worry for Betty, Helen Mirren's character. And as it goes along... there's a lot of, like, little musical stings to go, dang, that thing is important for some reason.
Yes.
Which is way on the nose for a con film to do. I mean...
I mean, they practically have, like, a telegraph operator there and, like, every other scene going, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Well, I mean, and, you know, slowly they're getting closer and closer, although not romantically. He literally moves into her house because he's pretending he has trouble getting around.
He plays that for a while.
He does. And... as the film takes a trip at one point, the two of them take a trip to Berlin, there's a huge information dump.
Famous romantic location.
Yeah. Oh, let's just go to Berlin. Why not?
It's a huge information dump where it gets non-Berlinier.
Wow.
It's funny because they went to the Holocaust Museum.
You thought that in the car on the way home, didn't you?
I did. I'm going to throw that in there somewhere. That's going in this review. But I think there's only so much I can say about the plot here, not because so much I'm worried about spoiling, but nothing past what I've just told you is terribly pertinent until the last 10 minutes.
They really locked us in here. They really have. Because if you go into what happens in the third act of this movie, you are a dick.
Yeah, you
but
don't
there's
do
so many problems with the third act of this movie.
If you do what for the third act?
Call us in a month and we'll tell
you. Oh, if
you
spoil
all
it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's just it. It's a movie that is setting you up and giving you all these very, like, look, it's a clue markers of,
you
like,
you are meant to assemble this in your head, amateur sleuth film goer.
And then the third act goes, felt like a studio stepped in and go, no, we don't like that. Why don't we do this instead?
It's like you went through an entire Agatha Christie novel, and they assembled everybody in, like, the lounge, or, you know, on the porte-cochere.
And they suddenly introduced a new character.
All of a sudden, Hercule Poirot goes, and the actual villain is... the Kaiser! I brought him here.
She would never do this. Like, no, she would never be this kind of cruel of a storyteller.
No,
I think in any way.
Well, yes, I'm not saying that. Yeah. She would actually.
Well, it just.
But this does feel like it's sort of like tacked on
because
like,
it gives you enough to know that okay, whatever is gonna happen, it's tied into the past in some way. But then the actual reveal not only is way unnecessarily fucked up and dark, considering, but there's literally none of the stuff is there that you could have even possibly have figured it out for yourself.
But don't you get that something's a little amiss? You know, like...
The fact that everything is so dead on and there's a lot of like, ha-ha-ha, wink-wink, nudge-nudge, is, I mean, it's telegraphing from the very beginning. You're like, okay, it's obvious that Betty is more than she's letting on to be.
Yeah, the, you know that almost. Yeah, hell, you know
I mean,
that.
You know
trailers.
That watching the fucking trailer.
Yeah, I mean, you know the big twist. You just can't possibly know what the details and the reasoning for it is because the movie doesn't tell you any of it until the actual exposition reveal of it, which, like I said, is just that sort of leave a bad taste in your mouth, gross and dark. You're like, and then it gets even more gross and dark.
And I'm not a squeamish film goer, but if you keep one tone for, you know, an hour and 15 minutes, and then all of a sudden you switch it to, and then we murdered a bunch of people, I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Pump the brakes, kids. You know, at least kind of
step away from the crash.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, maybe mildly assault a few people before you go whole hog murder,
and then murder a couple of people
before you go whole hog genocide.
It's true. I mean, like, I don't think any movie is really helped by a visit to the Holocaust Museum either.
No, no.
Like, I mean, maybe an actual Holocaust movie, but like. You throw that in there, and you are announcing the tone is going to change at some point, sure.
It's like, well, this isn't that much fun. I had a little twisty thriller.
Which is...
we had, like, a whole vibe going on.
Yeah, well, like, totally. The movie sells itself as completely a fun little twisty con film with two just fantastic
leads. With two, like, favorites. Yes. Two fan favorites.
Who are,
I feel genuinely lied to about the concept of this
movie. Then this movie worked. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
They're
well,
like,
right. Like, obviously, okay, that's what they were going for, but why?
I mean, the two coolest, sexiest 70-year-olds in the business,
really,
to get working together off of each other.
I think
Meryl
Streep
loving
just perked
seeing
up
it.
Right now.
Well, she's like 50 something.
No,
isn't
she's
she?
70.
Is she 70?
She's my mom's age.
Yeah, she's Meryl Streep's been around.
I'm still gonna give Helen Mirren the award.
Oh, yeah, well, okay. I think I would.
Helen
Mirren.
Still gonna
I'm all about the Streep.
Meryl Streep, runner up.
I love Streep. Don't get me wrong, but. Something
went
about
to
that
it. That becomes
Mirren.
Our drag queen hosted brunch recently.
Helen Mirren is a streep of a different stripe.
There you go.
Wow.
There. I'll allow it.
Hello.
But they're just so fun to watch in this movie that it's a shame that as it's going on, I just felt this sense of dawning realization as it went on that this isn't very good, is it?
Yeah.
As you're like, God, I love seeing these too, and they are charming. But this movie isn't very good.
Yeah, it's 7/8 of a movie that is entirely predictable in almost every way.
Yeah.
And then very not.
And then 1/8 of the film that makes no sense.
And then
gotta
very not.
That. You know, in a very ham-handed way, they Shyamalan the fuck out of us.
It could have been like almost like her improvising that last like huge monologue of everything, you know, just to...
Wouldn't that be funny if that was actually the way of it? Like, all right, when we get to this point in the script, every
just
time, just do something
up.
Different.
Well, it could have been either
just
that or like a, you know, focus group, like, 7 months later, like, reshoot.
Is this, like, Clue? Yeah. Every time you see it, there's
a different ending?
Well, I'm not going to go see it again.
I would enjoy
find
that
out.
More.
No.
I have seen improv trips go off the rail this badly.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's improv. By definition,
Nazi Germany.
I need some chocolate and a hug. Is all I'm saying.
There's a cat somewhere here. If you want to,
well,
that.
I know. And there's, you know,
there's still some Halloween candy left around here. Sure.
I mean, granted, wasn't Helen Mirren in the Red movies?
Yes.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, she was.
You know, she isn't an absolute guarantee seal. But
no.
When I get McKellen and Mirren in one movie, I'm expecting some you know, pretty solid business. Yeah. And, yeah, a lot of this felt like, just straight up amateur hour, and the only reason there was fun is watching the two of them play. And then, that landing. Woo, that was
a rough landing.
That wasn't a three-pointer.
It was a rough landing.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
The guy
I'm
wrote
give it a two from the Russian judge.
The guy who wrote this, Jeffrey Hatcher, was better known as a playwright. He has done a few screenplays for Casanova, for Lassie Hallström, which is one of the few Hallström films I don't think I have seen.
That's the Heath Ledger one.
Yeah, it's really good.
And The Duchess from 2008, which I don't think I saw.
Oh, Keira Knightley
I saw
one.
It. Yeah.
It's okay. It's adapted.
So. He also wrote for Columbo.
Well,
God, how old is he?
But he wrote Mr. Holmes, which was, was quite good.
What did the novelist write? Did he write anything else that's been adapted?
The thing that the this is based on?
Yeah, the novel.
Let's see. It is based on the novel, same by name by Nicholas Searle, no link on Wikipedia. So
okay, well, there you go.
All right, I'm looking it up now.
I'm betting this novel read a lot different than this movie played.
I expect that it did as well. Well, let's go into final thoughts. Frank, why don't you get us started?
I love watching these two actors together, and it's because of them that when the movie works, it works just because they're good. But then that's like not really the movie's credit. I do think that so much of this is on the nose in terms of character named Betty, but I love seeing them make any jokes. But yeah, I love watching them play with each other in terms of like this sort of cat and mouse thing. Once you really do see that. Nobody is really who they say they are.
Mm.
I love watching, just the looks and whatnot. But yeah, this, like, that last scene, and it's a frustrating scene because, my God, Helen Mirren is fantastic in there. And you just see why she's Helen Mirren and, why she's not as good as Streep, but...
I don't know.
I
agree. Streep is the better actress. Mirren is sexier.
That would be a steel cage death match.
But can it be a dance battle?
Oh. Ooh, well, we've got to save the rec center.
But, all those awful taste in your mouth, that really uncomfortable feeling, that squeamish feeling, yep, it's all valid. It's all true. It just wasn't fun. It took what little fun this movie did have and, just completely threw it away. I will say this did remind me of a little joke I heard about Walter Matthau one time in Auschwitz. Him and his wife were visiting Berlin and they were going to go to visit Auschwitz. And they had a fight the morning before they left the hotel. And they went through the entire museum completely not talking to each other, really, really angry. And after they went to the museum, she said, "Well, thanks for ruining Auschwitz for me." Which I just love. But anyways, that's my big takeaway from this one. I'm going to give this 6.5 out of 10. Women named Betty that you just shouldn't trust.
True. Bo?
Yeah, it's like Lauren Bacall.
Would you call her a black Betty?
Oh, yeah, there you go. Bomb blam.
So yeah, when I came out of this, I said I feel like I just watched two reels of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, and then somebody slipped in like Schindler's List or something for the third reel, and I mean, I really mean that when like the reveal got into its act, when the gears when it's really started to slip into gear, I felt legitimate revulsion. I was just like, this is so tonally different from where almost the entire rest of this film was that I can't, feel anything but repugnance for it. And that's, hint to filmmakers, that's not what you want. Or at least you should maintain it throughout the entire thing. One of the two. Go be Jodorowsky and defend the hell out of people. I'm fine with that. But do it for the entire movie. It's such a, almost an assault that I'm just like, man, even if the stuff with Mirren and McKellen, who are two actors that I adore, and I really did like a lot of their interactions in this. But even if it had been like, perfect to a T, if they still tried to carry this off, it wouldn't have worked for me. And it doesn't. It isn't perfect to a T. It's a lot of hackneyed stuff that we've seen in every film of this nature. you know, where you have two con artists or one con artist.
Yeah, at one point grandson goes, he talks in cliches. I'm like, so does the screenwriter.
Yeah,
it sure does, yeah. And, you know, it's a popular trope, and, you know, I guess they were trying to throw their little, you know, Shyamalan into this by doing something. I mean, it's a brave choice. I'll give them that. another thing that hurts us,
choice.
Once again, without making any spoilers, there are scenes that, because of the setting, you don't get McKellen or Mirren at all, and boy, those scenes, they really just don't work for me at all.
Mm.
I can't find a lot good to say about this, and it breaks my heart, because, you know, I love a good con film, and I was really looking forward to this night. Wow. Not what I wanted. Yes, I feel lied to as well. Give it 3 ratty umbrellas out of 10.
What about you, Jennifer?
Yeah, and that's me.
Let your hatred flow.
Right? No, I feel like it already did. I just...
You're trying to wash the movie away now.
The issue that I have with this, in the most part, is the advertising for it, I suppose. You know, call a spade, advertise a movie the way you want to, but this movie is not at all what it appeared to be going in. Had I known what it was going to do, I'd have probably not volunteered to go see it. That said, Ian McKellen and Helen Mirren are great actors. They always do a superb job with whatever they are given, and this is no exception. I just really am disappointed with the writing to begin with. I don't know if the book, I haven't read it. There are the 3 other books that he's written that are on his list of things, by the way, but none of them I have heard of. They all seem to be in like the crime genre.
Mm.
But yeah, this just really left a real bad taste in my mouth that makes me want some chocolate and a hug. And
you got Halloween candy left over?
I got lots
of
Halloween candy.
You do. I will take you up on some of that. Thank you. Yeah, this went some places that I just was not comfortable with. Yeah, that's that. I'm going to give it 4.5 because of Helen Mirren and Ian McKellen. Let's say dashed hopes with a torn train on a silk dress.
Fair. Yeah, I think we're all more or less on the same page here. There certainly is a lot of charm to be found between Mirren and McKellen when they're together, but the movie makes a lot of wrong decisions along the way, and as it goes, you can just feel your excitement for it draining out of you until the end, where it just pretty much crushes it out on the ground. It's just a terrible series of decisions in that third act that I don't know what the hell they were thinking, even by just the simple rules of how you make a con film, which is just like how you make a mystery. It has to be at least plausible for you to have figured it out.
But they don't play fair in this movie.
They don't play fair. They invent a bunch of shit at the end that you're like, okay. And that's what you went with? And even worse, this film's goddamn dry as hell through a lot of it.
Yep.
It should be so much more fun than it is. There's all these times you're like, oh, it looks like it's about to be really fun, and it isn't. It's kind of like a Merchant Ivory con film for 3/4 of it.
No, don't say that. Hey, don't sell their name.
Sorry, like never Merchant been a big Ivory. Fan. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, stick it
you're
in your
not, You're not a Merchant Ivory fan?
I mean, there are films.
Oh, my God.
I liked Gator. No.
Oh, wow.
You are a barbarian and a fool.
No, I do like a few Merchant Ivories, but overall, it's just never been my thing.
Well, you need a room of your own.
Wow.
You can kiss my Howard's End.
Wow. Okay. Wow. All right, ladies. You're both pretty.
I know. Stop it. Let's do each other's makeup after this.
Okay. We did talk about that. All
That's
right.
Awesome.
All right. I got you, boo.
I'm going to give it 5 out of 10 tickety boos. Can't believe somebody else didn't take tickety boos.
Oh, that would have been great.
Like me for not doing
it. But it was erased from my brain.
I use that so often in real life. That I
am not surprised. You are a gentleman and a scholar.
And Bob's your uncle.
I do say Bob's your uncle.